Oh, you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol Baskin from Big Cat Rescue, and you are listening to the Humane Roundup Podcast.
We're back with Lauren Malmberg, episode 2, part 2. Lauren, thanks again for joining us, and we're excited to have you back. We had some really good euthanasia discussion last week.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here. I think you guys are doing a fantastic service to our field by producing this, and I hope that I know that I'm promoting it, so I want more people to listen to you.
Well, I appreciate that, definitely. And
Lauren, talk a little bit for just me. You said, and I know you claim you're 100 years old. You're probably only like 41. You started as an infant.
Yeah, 41, but she's been 40 years in the career.
Yeah, because you know how they have those little cars that you can like scoot around. She probably had a tricycle, like picking up dogs back in the
Chihuahuas
day.
Chihuahuas, specifically.
Lauren, can you please talk about, like, what was that impact moment in your career early on that still sticks with you today?
Well, I have to say, I stumbled into this job because I applied at the city of Peoria to be in a code enforcement division, and they had they said, "Hey, I see you like animals. We have an opening at the animal shelter." And I was like, "Oh, cool. How cool would that be?" I had no idea what a dog catcher was. I had no idea what a dog pound was. I had never encountered that in my life. We'd raised dogs when I was a kid. We had horses. I just had no clue. And I thought, that's great. And I walked into this terrible dump of a shelter. It was next to the landfill, or excuse me, next to the sanitary district, built on fill, so it settled all the time. It was a terrible, terrible facility, but I felt like I was home.
And so when you say you use the word dog catcher and dog pound, like that was the common language, right? Like there, it wasn't animal shelter, it wasn't animal services or protection, it was dog catcher.
Actually, it was at that time. But actually, the city of Peoria had just gone without animal control for about 6 or 8 months. And this was back in the days of dog packs roaming.
Yeah.
Peoria is a community of about 120,000, the city itself, and then 180,000 in the county. And the greater Peoria area is about 300,000. So we have urban areas. We have rural agricultural areas. We have a wide array. But the city of Peoria, I have to give them incredible, incredible praise, because they made it their goal to open an animal shelter that was going to be humane and progressive. And Dan, you may know Jenny Orme.
Sure, absolutely.
She was first hired when they decided to do this, and she served as the manager. She hired me. I worked for her for 5 years and learned a lot of what I know from her. But she made that shelter a progressive, at that time, state-of-the-art kind of facility, even though the facility itself sucked. The program was well done. And, so she handed me something that was ready to roll when she moved on to Colorado. And, I was there ever since that. Not that it didn't have its ups and downs, but, it just felt like home. I do believe this job is a calling. It's not a job. And if you're in it because you just want a paycheck, you're never going to do it well, and you're going to burn out fast, and it's going to be bad. You got to love it.
Gotta love it.
But I'm 62, not 41.
Well, wow. I mean, that's still very young, Lauren.
Nice.
Yeah. Bishop, I can hear your wheels turning.
I know. And I had a question from last week, and I can't remember what I was going to say.
Well, you think about it, and yeah. I'll holler at her.
Please.
So what was your first truck like? What did it look like? Did it have built-in kennels? Was it just a pickup truck?
We called them the war wagon. We had we had five animal control officers, and two of the trucks were old Dodge pickup trucks with those metal cages that set inside the back of the pickup truck. And then we had two newer vehicles, which had the swab units on the back.
Okay.
And they didn't have air conditioning. And I don't know if you've been to the Midwest, but it's humid here. And
how did you keep the swab doors from freezing? Cause that was my issue.
Oh, they phrased, they jammed, it was a nightmare. You had this little iron hook thing that you stuck in the hole to turn to open the doors, and you had to slam them shut. They didn't have regular latches. Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible for the animals and for the officers involved. So those were our first vehicles. I heard you do a question, I guess it's on Pick of the Litter, about what kind of vehicle. But we've always, since we got rid of those first two war wagons, we've always done pickup trucks with swab units in them.
Man, if I don't call this episode War Wagon, I don't know what else. I don't know what else to call it.
We have a lot of sayings like that, and I'll try to make sure that I don't use any bad words.
No, you can. We actually call this explicit, so you're fine.
So
Bishop, I hear the wheels turning again, Bishop.
What got you into the EBI training and everything after doing animal control for so long?
Well, I started euthanizing probably the second year I was in working, so 1981. I started probably before both of you were born. I started euthanizing.
Did you say 81?
Yeah.
You need to stop playing. You know how old I am?
No.
Okay.
I was not born.
Well, I was, okay.
See, I knew it.
I might have been riding those tricycles playing animal control in the park, but I was still born.
But I euthanized probably every day of my working life from that point on, all the way up till 2015. And that was back in the day when you were taught by somebody else who was on the job and you had a veterinarian who held the DEA license for you so you could get the sodium pen and you had to mix it up a special with a mask on and all that. And then in 1999, Illinois became a direct purchase state, and I was helpful in trying to get that law. I've always been really active in the legislature here, and so we were helpful to try and get that law passed so that shelters could purchase that drug and use it as necessary, because veterinarians, understandably so, don't want to lend their DEA license to animal shelters or animal control facilities. So it just started to become a very important thing to me. And now that I'm retired, I started training because I felt like this is one thing I can really do well, and it's a skill that I would like to pass on. And I see it as a positive outcome of having to learn this skill. And I also see it as one of my other things I do is I'm on our Horsemen's Council of Illinois, because I'm a horsewoman, and it's really devastating to watch horses, these beloved animals, end up going to kill pens where they're slaughtered like cattle and used for food in France, because people can't afford euthanasia, or it's got that bugaboo about it. Oh, I just can't euthanize it. I can't do that to my animal, but I can sell it to a kill pen. So I'm kind of, I got a couple of hot topics going with euthanasia here. I'm trying to fix stuff.
Have you ever euthanized your own animal?
I euthanize all my own animals.
So
it's hard. I had to euthanize my dog seven years ago. It was tough. But I, you know what? I'm glad I was the one that did it.
I know that it sound. I know people are always appalled, you know, that I do it. But I know my skill level, and I know my animal, and I know what will make them comfortable, and I don't want somebody else handling them through that. Mm-hmm. Process.
We talk about it all the time on the podcast about burnout and mental health and things like that. You've been in the profession for 40 years. You've been doing, I mean, we all have a tough job, obviously, but some would say that the euthanasia aspect is probably tougher than other parts of it. How did you get through and this far into your career without burning out and just losing it?
Well, I have to say, you know, it's a process, because when I first started, I had a bad attitude about people. I I reveled in treating people badly when they brought their animals to the shelter. You know, when they would bring in that litter of kittens and say, oh, look what I've got for you. You'll make a lot of money on these. Or here's my litter of Dalmatian puppies. Because this was back in the day when we were getting litter after litter after litter of purebred puppies because they were just, there was just no place for them to go. And that was,
and then they were bad tempered.
Oh yeah. And that was back when we were euthanizing animals for space, totally for space. And I never found the act of euthanasia distressing. I find choosing. Choosing was my hard thing to do. But anyway, I had to get through the part where I was treating people badly and taking everything they said to me to heart and get to the point where you realize, first of all, it's not personal. It's not about me. And I do want to say, as far as euthanasia goes, the last thing I ever consider in selecting an animal for euthanasia or deciding to put my own pet down is my feelings. They have no place in what is best for the animal, in my mind. It's all about the animal. And it might be about your organization, and it might be about what the outcome for that animal could be, but it should not be about how you feel about it.
Can we talk really quick? I just want to change gears. Over your span in this industry, if you had a magic wand, what was something you didn't have that officers should have in today's world or that you wish you had while you were doing this job?
More law enforcement training. We are law enforcement officers who happen to deal with animals. We do, other than arresting people, and some of us do that.
Sure.
But other than arresting people for, other than pursuing other than animal crimes, we are an animal. We're a police officer who also has the angry owner on one side and the aggressive dog on the other, and we're supposed to balance that and take care of all that at one time. We don't get enough training on how to deal with dog behavior, but we certainly don't get enough training on how to deal with people and diffusing situations, de-escalating things, using the right language, approaching things correctly, protecting ourselves, protecting the rest of the community while we're out there. We don't get enough law enforcement training in my mind.
You know, I love that you say that, and I'm going to step all over my old director and my old agency that I no longer work for. We were in a staff meeting, and she had the nerve to say that we were not law enforcement, that we were just code enforcement. And I had to clearly and quickly remind her that under the statutes, we are also considered law enforcement. And she just, for whatever reason, never saw us for what we really did. And it was really hard. And our section was always neglected because of that. She just couldn't, either she didn't like law enforcement, she didn't understand law enforcement, whatever the case was, she did not put us in that same light where, as you just said, Lauren, like our job is law enforcement. It's just surrounding the laws pertaining to animals and property and animals, however you want to describe it.
And see, in Illinois, we have, if your county board elects to allow you the right to carry a firearm, you can, and you can, and some of us, you know, are sheriff's deputies who also do animal control, so that there is a law enforcement element here anyway. But we really worked hard to coordinate effort with our city municipal police department and our county sheriff's department because we needed them. But I can't tell you the number of times those guys said, I'd rather walk into a domestic violence situation than go up and get that dog off that porch. So, I mean, they need us. They need us. And I listened to your about that video that you talked about last week about those police officers that may have shot that dog on the end of a control stick. And I go back to, there's a situation where they're not putting enough money into public safety as far as the animal go, because there's no resources for those people. And secondly, those people didn't have enough training, and it's just unfortunate that the animal pays the price.
It really is.
The animal and the owner, but again, the animal is running at large and in a bad situation.
Yeah.
What?
Bishop? I'm on you there. Today, Bishop.
I was getting there. You know, and it's not even just always the agencies. I recently have had two different times where the city attorney for one of the jurisdictions I have worked at, I went and talked to a party that was, you know, incarcerated, and her animal was at the shelter being held by us because she was incarcerated. And I said, listen, by state statute, you have 4 days to figure something out, or the animal becomes ours legally and it'll go up for adoption, et cetera, et cetera. Here is a form for you to sign, basically just saying that I explained this to you. And she refused to sign it. And I had the city attorney say, well, that's just, that'll be a he said, she said. And I'm like, but if I put it into a report, which is a legal document, nope, it's just he said, she said. So I feel incredibly discredited by my city attorney because, well, if it's a he said, she said, that basically puts me as no different than a citizen. And I was very surprised at the support that I had within the department, because I went to a couple of officers that are my friends and they're like, you're law enforcement. This is bullshit. You know, so
it is bullshit. And that's the thing. And Lauren, I'm so excited, not only for these two episodes, but to have you back on to talk more about the progression of this profession, because we need people like you that are going to champion it and continue to get the word out there. And we're really grateful to have you on the show.
Yeah, well, I'm thrilled to be here. And Ashley, that story hurts my heart because I have fought that credibility issue for a long time. And I'm not quite sure how we get to the point where people, instead of automatically assuming that we're not telling the truth, mm-hmm. or that we can't substantiate it, finding a way to sell those prosecutors, city attorneys, the judges, anybody that, you know, we are credible, ethical, and in many cases we're sworn officers. What possible reason would we have to lie about something like that? It's right. Not he said, she said. I said it. That's what happened. You know, and the other thing is I'm going to start, I would be like, okay, I'm going to start recording all my conversations, or let's get a police officer in here as a witness, you know, if that's what it takes. But we really do have to work on that. But it does hurt my heart to know that people those assumptions.
I actually had, it was a community service officer, also not a sworn officer, but I actually had taken somebody with me. I couldn't record because it was at the jail and I'm not allowed to record up there in the specific spot I was. But yeah, I've had City Hall tell me that they can't give me access to the licensing system because they don't give that to citizens. Like,
I understand completely. We fought long and hard to be able to run license plates and to be able to access warrant information.
Oh, no. Forth. I have access to that. They wouldn't give me access to animal licensing because they don't give that to citizens. I have access to, yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Think about that.
I'm sorry.
I have access to everything that the police department does. They have certified me through e-time. I have NCIC training. Like, I can run license plates, people's names. I have access to everything legally, but they wouldn't give me access to animal licensing.
Well, this is where all I can say is you can't fix stupid. And I mean, it's just so disheartening, but you can't fix stupid.
Right.
All right, I think it's that time. Do you think it's that time? Is it that time?
I think it's that time.
It's the Pick of the Litter, brought to you by the Humane Educators of Texas, humaneeducatorsoftexas.com. Check them out on your FM. No, it's .com. You stop it. I'm going to get Kelly up here. Matter of fact, we're going to see them in November in Texas. You keep playing around. Somebody's going to be in a catch pool, and it ain't going to be me.
Don't count yourself so lucky.
Okay, cool.
So are you going to tell her the rules, or are you just going to?
Well, somebody had to be sassy. Lauren, this game is called Pick of the Litter. very cliche. We allow you to do whatever you want in this episode or game show. There's no real rules except that you have to pick an answer. You can pick your own. You can pick one provided from you, or you can pick none of the above. You can say, you know what? I don't want any of it. If there's time and you want to elaborate, please elaborate on your answers. It's just a fun little game show that we play here on the Humane Roundup podcast.
Great.
Are you ready?
Yep.
It's hard. It's real hard.
It is hard.
Well, actually, some of the questions can be. Anyway. All right, Lauren. Van, truck, or SUV?
Truck with a swab unit.
As I've already put down, war wagon.
That's not what we called the war wagon. It was the steel trap. But because I love swab and I don't want to say anything bad about swab. They love.
Do you have a photo of the war wagon by any chance?
You know what? I might. Let me check. You know, I'm still friends with many of the people that I've worked with. So somebody
I know,
might have a picture.
You have to break out the slide machine and check and see. Some of our young listeners have no idea what the heck I'm talking about.
Exactly.
All right, cool.
All right. Cat, dog, or other?
Dogs and horses.
All right.
Dogs and horses. I love dogs and horses.
Hip hop, country, or rock?
Rock.
All right. Nonprofit, muni, or PD?
Ooh. Governmental agency. Governmental agency, I'll just say that.
Okay. So that would kind of be muni and PD, I would think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bite or cruelty?
Oh, that's like asking me to pick between my two favorite children. No, they are both equally important to me and equally important to do correctly.
Interesting. I think that is that the first time. Well, is it the first time we have both? No.
I mean,
ACO Michelle picked both. Yeah.
And then okay. We have Irene.
Oh.
Who is cruelty followed by a bite.
Yeah. Okay.
Which, interestingly enough, I had one recently. The bite was a result of cruelty, which ended up with the person. I ended up having to call for an officer because there was a total of 9 charges involved with child abuse, strangulation, all kinds of things. So, all because I got asked to do a welfare check on the dog that came in as a bite quarantine. So.
Sad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll say it. He got what he deserved from the dog. And the dog was sweet with everybody else.
I'm glad you were there to deal with that. You know, what would have happened if you hadn't been there? I'm just thankful you were there to deal with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Body armor or none?
I'm old school. I would say none, but I don't have a very good personal safety thing going on in my head. So I would say none for myself personally, but I would probably want my guys to wear it if we had access to it.
Okay. So then is it all of Illinois that doesn't, or is it based on...
I think it's based on individual communities. Everybody kind of goes their own way. Some of them are wearing it. Some of them have access to it. Some of them don't. You know, we're still, I mean, we might be a little, the state with the most humane laws, according to HSUS, but we still have communities where they hire somebody off the street, hand them a stick and a truck, the keys to the truck, and say, go catch dogs. They're not giving that guy Barney armor. So
do you think, though, like from... As we talked earlier about like the profession just gaining the notoriety that it should have, should we have body armor?
I think we should have access to it. Yes.
Okay.
And that, you know, I don't know that I want to mandate it for people, but yes.
But I mean, that's the thing is like,
we're in as much danger, yes.
Yeah. We may not go to a hot domestic violence call, but I guarantee you we're following up on a domestic violence call.
I was at a call where we were taking three children away from a woman, and she was watching DCFS walk out with them, and she didn't do anything but smoke her cigarette leaning against the car until we started bringing out her dogs.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And then she attacked my officer bringing out the dog. She didn't have any concerns about the kids going to DCFS, but we weren't going to take those dogs. So I would say in a lot of situations, we are even at a higher risk because people are sometimes crazier about their pets than they are about their families.
Mm-hmm.
Facts. Those are facts. Yep.
Barking or stray?
Oh, I want to meet the person who said barking.
That was,
we have one.
Hale. No way, Jose.
Hale, yeah. From Virginia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She said.
Stray.
Wait, we have two more. We had the code enforcement people, Pete and Rachel. And then we had ACO Michelle. What is wrong with you, ACO Michelle? What is wrong with you?
No, well, no. For me, it's stray all day.
Stray all. I feel like that's a Joe the ACO sticker right there. Stray all day.
No way do I want to deal with barking dog.
Nobody does.
Yeah. No.
This is great.
And as an aside, right now I serve as our hearing officer here in Peoria County, and underneath my jurisdiction every month is zoning complaints, but also I do all the barking dog complaints. I'm the judge for it. So.
Oh, wow.
And they all suck.
That just makes me want to barf. So you were talking about ordinances needing to be changed and stuff. And I recently, one of my jurisdictions, I think I've ever taken maybe four different calls out there in the 9 years I've been doing this particular part of animal welfare. And I had to pull up all the ordinances because I don't even know what they are. And some of them are from, a good majority of them are from like 1982, 1985. And one of them is that no person shall own a dog that barks to the annoyance of another. Like, wow. I'm supposed to just straight up remove the dog because it's barking? Like, So needless to say, Tuesday night, I'm going to the town meeting to be like, yeah, you need to change your ordinances here. Put these in instead. So
I got to say, we have looked and looked to find a process and an ordinance that effectively deals with barking dog.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it.
Knock on your neighbor's door and be like, hey, do you mind bringing your dog inside?
Right.
That'd be good.
Slap them both upside the head and say, get along, because it's usually not They're also calling in because they got loud music, or they parked their car too close to the driveway, or they left their garbage cans out too long. It's usually a neighborhood fight.
Yes.
Move out to the country where you don't have neighbors. That's what I want to tell people. Move to where you don't have neighbors.
Exactly. And then I want to say to the pet owner, could you just be considerate?
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You probably don't like it either. Like, just, radio or cell phone?
I want to say both, but I would say both. The radio was fantastic because you didn't have to dial. We used to have those. I don't remember what the phones were, but you had that push to talk thing.
Nextel.
Those were fantastic because you could call on them, but you could also do walkie talkie kind of radio stuff.
Yes.
So I do like those handheld radios because I just found them to be a little more reliable than having to find the phone, find the number, call. And if I have terrible cell reception where I live, so I don't count on it very well.
All right. Let's see if she breaks the streak here. Zoom or in person?
I kind of like Zoom.
What?
It depends on what it's
first
for.
First out of 24 people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you only have to dress from the You know, from the waist up.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
You can adjust your lighting. You can
change your background.
Change your background. You know, when you're 100 years old, these things matter. Oh my God. But you know, I live, you know, out in the country, way out in the boonies, and so I, you know, there are certain, and plus I'm on a bunch of meetings where I can Zoom with people all over the world and
sure.
talk to people. I love Zoom. I've grown to love it. So,
all right. Skunk or DOA?
DOA. DOA all day. Mm-hmm. Skunk is the it's right up there with barking dog.
Yeah. It's like this incredibly strong oniony, like nope.
Weed and onion mix is what it smells like to me.
Well, I had a dog who,
yeah,
I had a dog who found skunks all over our property, and they say that once a dog gets sprayed, they really kind of grow to like it.
Oh, geez.
That's and hilarious.
My dog Gertie, she got sprayed 4 times. It got to the point where I was just like, I don't, you know.
She's doing it for fun. She's like, Mama, I love this smell.
Everything smells like skunk all the yeah. time. So I just live with it.
That's awesome. Gertie. All right.
Last one. Catch pole, snappy snare, or lariat?
I love those snappy snares. I love them, but
I was so hoping
they keep breaking.
But the control stick, or we called them control stick catch pole, safety wise, obviously. But there's nothing like driving down the road with that snappy snare made into a big loop as the dog's running down the highway and you can't get him to stop and you just drop that thing over and you've got him.
So we're going to go snappy snare / catch pole? Is that what we're doing?
That'd be great.
That is awesome stuff.
I just wish I could get my catch poles or my snappy snares to stop breaking through.
Oh, we went through them like water.
Well, and I have a feeling that it has to do with the temperature of my vehicle. Somebody brought that to my attention, so I don't know what I'm gonna do.
We even tried the big one with the steel or the
They have the metal ones. Yeah,
the metal one, and we found that that metal shaved, and it would splinter out and come through.
Ooh.
Yeah, I had guys getting their hands all beat up, so we went back to just the regular snappy snare, and they were much happier. Wow.
I've heard somebody has a way of making their own. Somebody had sent me a link on how to do that. So I might look into that because hopefully that would be cheaper than constantly replacing them. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. They are invaluable though. I love them.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just kind of at a loss for words because I feel like we could open up your brain and learn so much from your experience in this industry and,
oh, that's scary.
Well, you could have rabies.
I probably do. I know that people have referred to me as rabid before, so.
Well, we just appreciate you I want to just say we appreciate you reaching out. Because I know there's a lot of listeners that may not feel like they want to reach out, you know, just based on their personality. Maybe they're not that type of person, but. For us here on the Humane Roundup, we always love the feedback and really take it into consideration when our listeners say, hey, have you ever thought about this? Well, we're not going to shy away from that. So we want to really thank you for taking the time to send the email and then being willing to come on and talk about it. There's so many other questions that I know we did not get to today that you had. And I think, you know, just getting you back on to talk about some of those other things would be really, really helpful.
I would love to do that. And I can't say enough times how invaluable I think this service is that you're providing, a place for people to hear that there are others sharing their kind of situation and problems and successes. And you're doing something that's invaluable. And I would encourage anybody, even if you don't think you have a good idea, to reach out, because it's only because we all work together that we're going to get anywhere. And it may not be the first time somebody's ever thought of your idea, but reach out, and because you guys have made it, you've been very welcoming And this is Thank you. Really non-threatening process because I don't have to be on camera.
So you might not even have anything on from the waist up.
I'm not going to address that, man.
I don't do this enough. Our phone number to call is 916-241-3464. Again, 916-241-3464. You can text or call or email us at humaneroundup@gmail.com. Again, humaneroundup@gmail.com. Get your questions over here and we'll get you on the show. Again, thanks for your time. Thanks for the people listening, and we really appreciate it. And as always on the Humane Roundup podcast, we like to say like, share, and rate us. leave a review if you can. And as always, Bishop, thanks for listening. Keep and it. Humane.
Maine.
We'll never get this thing
no,
right.
No, never. Maybe in November.
yeah, when we're in person.
Right.
Cool. Bye-bye.